Amen. Perhaps you noticed the theme of the song service tonight. Shelter in the time of storm. Jesus never fails. God will take care of you. And that was on purpose, of course. So I'd like you to turn tonight to Psalms chapter 46. As you're turning there, let me just thank you on behalf of Pastor and myself. I think our church is taking at least 20 or 50 frozen chickens to cook for Brother Roger. And I announced that just at the end there, thankful to my father-in-law who poked his head out and reminded me. Really want to just say thank you for how you have stepped up and helped out that ministry. And what a neat thing to do. And I know, speaking to Roger this morning, and it's just one story after another from his mouth about how God is working and providing, and it's encouraging. So I want to thank you for that. Also want to make you aware, if you've not thought of that perfect gift to purchase for Christmas yet, Pastor has ordered a lot of nice Bibles. And let me tell you, that makes a really good gift. So we have four study Bibles. They're cross-reference study Bibles. So they have the little, in the middle, they have the cross-references in the middle column. And and they're beautiful Bibles. There's a couple samples on the back table you can look at. And those are $20 each. There is a personal size giant print Bible. I think that's what's back there on the table. And they're, of course, lovely. And they're $15 each. There's a kid study Bible. And the kid study Bible has a couple of different color coordinations on the front. And a really good Bible. And it's available in purple, green, or blue and green. That's the colors they put together. Those are $20 each. And then there's Bible tabs. So, you know, it's not that you don't necessarily know where it's at in your Bible, but sometimes it's nice to find Zechariah with a little tab that has the name on it, right? So those are $5 each, and we have several of those coming. So it's really nice looking addition to your Bible. So if you're looking for a good gift, we wanted to provide for you the opportunity to purchase some nice Bibles to give us that. So they will be shipping. Do we have all of them yet? Okay, they're on their way, so we should have those in pretty quick. So wanted to bring that to your attention as well. All right, Psalms chapter 46. This is a great psalm, and I have known the first part of this psalm for a very long time. And if I'm not mistaken, the very first sermon that I ever preached as a kid, I think it was a teenager, and I went for about 3 minutes, and it was in Psalm chapter 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, we're going to go through the whole psalm tonight, but I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been into a really bad storm before where it was, it was just downright scary? And the wind was boisterous. Maybe there was tornadoes in the area. Of course, I'm speaking as an Oklahoma boy. And I have videos of our family running from tornadoes, so I'm familiar with this concept, and I grew up around it. And this is talking, of course, about a literal storm. It's what I'm talking about tonight, wind and hail and scary type things. Have you ever been in that position? And what you need is a place to take refuge, and you need a place of shelter and a place of protection. Well, this is what God offers us as believers, as his children. And I look forward to studying this psalm with you tonight that describes God as our refuge and strength. I was reading someone who commented on this first part of Psalms chapter 46, and they wrote these words back in 1973 about this psalm and said this: "Until recently, man has had few thoughts to spare for the possibility of world catastrophe. But this psalm can face it unafraid because its opening phrase means exactly what it says. Our true security is in God, not God plus anything else. Both this confidence and the threat to it are now spelt out. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Now let's look now at the next few verses. Verse 2 says, "Therefore, because of these things, we will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. I want to look tonight at some characteristics of God that will provide for us, his children, strength and stability in the world in which we live. And it doesn't really matter how spiritual anybody is. This is good stuff. This is good material. This is good scripture. This is good truth. And it will bolster your faith. And if it doesn't, if anything, it will convict you as well. If you are looking outside of the realm of God for refuge or for safety or protection, you are going to come up wanting. And we need to look to the Lord for our refuge and strength. So he is, first of all, our strength in the storm. Don't you just love the simple truth of the first verse? God is our refuge and strength. He is that to us. He's a very present help in trouble. And of course, I just love the wording there, a very present help in trouble. As I've said before, it could just say a present help in trouble and we'd have got the point. But it's a very present help in trouble. He's our refuge. He is our strength and a very present help in trouble. This is one of the most central questions, I believe, that goes around the mind of men and women in the world today. Where can I turn to for refuge? Where can I turn to for protection? I was reading about a movie called Schindler's List. Maybe you've seen it. I know a lot of people have watched it. I don't believe I've ever seen the film, because it sounds very sobering for sure. But it has to do with Nazi Germany and, of course, all the things that were happening around those time. And I was reading one author's account of this story. And the Nazis were coming for children. And so the children were scattering everywhere trying to find a place to hide. And one of the little boys removes floorboards so he can hide in the crevice of the floor, only to discover that there were faces down there hiding already. And so frantically searches for another place to hide and pulls the side of a fireplace off, the bricks out and the stones out, and gets ready to crawl in. And sure enough, there's kids hiding there. And even into the outhouse and trying to find all the places in there to hide. And you can just imagine. And sure enough, kids were there as well. And I thought, wow, that is so terrible. You know, this, as we consider that God is our refuge, that he is our very present help in trouble, people are trying to find refuge. And they're looking in every which place imaginable. Sometimes the worst places imaginable. This psalm is inviting us to find our refuge in the pure and perfect protective hand of the God of heaven, the very powerful, almighty God of heaven and earth. I love where Jesus explained to Lazarus' sister in a very important passage in John chapter 11 and verse 25. And these are verses that you can memorize to kind of go along with what you're studying when you're studying how God is our protection. John 11, 25 says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And because of the finished work of Christ on the cross, a holy God can invite us into fellowship with him that provides refuge. You know, Jesus bridges the gap between us, right? Between us and the God of heaven and the holiness of God. Jesus explained this in the previous chapter, John chapter 10, in verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. How many of you go to that verse for comfort and for strength and for security in our salvation? No man is able to pluck you out of my Father's hand. I hope there's been a time in your life when you have placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for Savior. I believe that is likely in a crowd on a Sunday night, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention it. I hope you know about the Lord. I hope you're saved, and I hope you're confident in your salvation. And as Christians, I hope you're finding your comfort and your refuge in the God of heaven. You know, during a COVID-19 pandemic, right? God can be our refuge and strength. When there's uncertainties in the economy, God can be our refuge and strength. When you're tempted to worry about politics and elections and policies and whatnot, God can be our refuge and strength. How about when the doctor calls and says, there's some concerns on the test result, and I want to talk to you about it. God can be our refuge and strength, right? He can be someone that we can depend on. You could fill in the blank with any number of examples where you need to rely on the Lord and trust in Him. Let's find ways as individuals and as a church to join the psalmist in saying God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. He is in control. Let's look now at verse 2 and 3 of Psalms chapter 46. Therefore, because he's our refuge, he's our strength, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. It's a beautiful visual if you think about it. I mean, mountains aren't supposed to move, right? And so this, the thought of this actually happening would be a sight to see. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There was a storm at sea not long ago, and I don't know how I caught the story, but it had a video of passengers inside one of those larger ships. And to see the waves from that ship, and there were things in the cabin that were sliding around, and I mean, the waves just looked bigger than the boat, and the waves would crash over the side, and they had little portal windows underneath there that would go underwater. I'm like, oh boy, I would not want to be there. And waves are huge and crashing, and certainly you can see that in your mind's eye, and to think of the mountains that would be slipping into the sea. Now, there's actually a lot of different ways people have thought about this particular passage. Some think that he's talking about a literal physical calamity, maybe an earthquake or maybe a huge mudslide, something like that, some kind of calamity. Others think it's some kind of tragedy where everything you relied on is gone and you have nothing anymore. You know, mountains are supposed to be stable, and to think of them slipping off and falling into the water, they're not supposed to do that. But you know what? The point of the passage is, what about if they do? What if that actually literally happened? Well, God is our refuge and our strength then as well. Wow. The mountains might be sliding around. The ocean might be roaring and troubled and foaming and doing all of those things. But we're secure in the safe hands of our Heavenly Father and His dear Son. Some people see this word picture as a metaphor to the nations that are about to be described in the following verses. And nations are crumbling, and some are rising up, and others are falling away. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, I don't think we can be too dogmatic about it, because ultimately, it doesn't matter. The central point is the same, right? Whatever difficulty we might be facing, whatever tragedy, calamity, hardship, illness, it matters not, considering the verse here. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. The people of God are able to be in a peaceful place because of our relationship with the Lord. Have you relied on Him that heavily before, where you just know that God is in control? You can trust Him. He's guiding you. He may be using your life for some great example. Who knows? But rest in the Lord, who is our refuge and strength. And we need to point people to find help in times of trouble. This is really the mindset behind the Grief Share ministry that we're hoping to start in the new year. You know, to point people who are experiencing great trouble and great upheaval in life to look to the God of who is our refuge, the God who is our strength, who is our very present help in trouble. God is our strength. He is also our sustainer through the storms. Look at verse 4 again. There is a river and streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The contrast that appears in verse 4 could not be more profound when you look at it. While there's chaos and confusion and mountains crumbling and slipping into the sea and all of the waters being roaring and troubled, mountains shaking, compare that to the dwelling place of the Most High. Compare that to where God is. It's a peaceful-like existence where the people of God can go to for those who have chosen to find refuge in the God of heaven. And he also nourishes us as we rely upon him. The second part of that verse says there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The streams are making glad the city of God. It's really a picture of serenity and sustenance. Has this book ever been to you a stream of comfort and a stream of peace and understanding? And even the disturbing parts, you're thankful they're there because you can see God deals with these things. God can control. God is never outside of control. He's our refuge and strength. There's these rivers and streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. You know, this picture of serenity and sustenance, too, is also a very short walk to the gospel. Do you remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4 and verse 14? Remember what he said? He said to her, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give them shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." When men and women are taking refuge in him, there's no reason to participate in every battle that comes along the road. If you want to participate in every single battle and try and put a poker in the fire, let me tell you something. This whole pandemic, you know, year and a half that we've been dealing with, is potentially exhausting for anyone who is not putting their faith and trust in God. Do you think COVID-19 caught God by surprise? Of course it didn't. Have you grown throughout this time? Have you really literally been forced to rely on God? These are things that are good for us, right? To push us a little bit, to make us to kind of step out of those comfort zones and have to rely. You know, we really live comfortable lives, and we're quite blessed. And when some of those things are challenged, when some of those things are, it looks as though it's possible for them to go away, you know, that drives us to God. You know, I'd like to think that we're close to God already, but there have been many times throughout these times that have drawn me to God. And I thank the Lord for it. You know, we look back over just the last couple of years. I sort of, in my mind's eyes, it starts with a bumpy election down in the United States, and then the virus, and then fights erupted, and there was the shutdowns and stimulus, and this package and that package, and this law and that law, and this mandate and that mandate, and all of these things. I'm not suggesting that we can't and shouldn't interact on some of those subjects in a limited way, but if we're trying to find our sustenance and our hope and our peace in man-made solutions, we're always going to come up short. You know, everybody has an opinion, and everybody has a plan for this and a plan for that. And I just want to rest in the Lord, because you know what? Nobody knows for sure what's going to happen. You know, nobody knows what this next, the next variant that's coming out or that's out. We don't know what is going to happen, what's going to do. And people are scared, or other people are completely aloof and don't care about it. And there's this guy and that guy and this law and this mandate. And it's just, you know what? Serenity, peace, sustenance, the streams that make glad thereof, the city of God, which is our refuge, who is our refuge and our strength, a very present help of trouble. You know, as well as I know, that the kingdom of man offers no sustenance or stability or satisfaction, but the follower of Christ, who is taking refuge in him, in our walk with the Lord, we can even engage these topics. Like I said, I'm not saying we shouldn't work through these things. We definitely should. There's nothing wrong with engaging in things like this, so long as we're pointing. In fact, let's use these verses as a testimony, right? You know, we're engaging this issue, and we're concerned about our freedoms, and we want to move ahead for the Lord. But, you know, none of that is under my control. What is in my control is that God, he is my refuge, and he is my strength, and I'm going to trust in him in times of trouble. I hope you're looking for opportunities to speak about your relationship with the Lord and how it's impacting your ability to maneuver these times, because people are looking for those kinds of answers. You know, they may look at you and say, how come you're not scared, or how come you seem to be you know, at peace through this whole thing. And what an opportunity to say, oh, it's only because of God. I'm relying upon Him. He's the Creator. He's the Almighty God. He holds heaven and earth in His hands. He holds my life in His hands. He can kill me if He wants, or He can make me live as long as He wants me to live. He's in control, and I'm trusting in Him. So I hope you're looking for those opportunities. You can do that, by the way, without being pious or self-righteous. You can tell people about how Jesus has helped you and how you can sleep at night. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our fortress. You see this terminology, refuge, the idea of a fortress. You see it all through that chapter. You know, you see verse 7 says, the God of Jacob is our refuge. You see that in verse 11, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Do you know that song, A Mighty Fortress is Our God? You know, that was written by Martin Luther in the context of one of the greatest theological conflicts of the church, in the history of the church. And, you know, there's a lot to it, and you can study it for yourself, but I wanted to sing this song tonight, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, but it's not exactly in our hymn, in our computer system. So I have the lyrics in my notes tonight, and I want you to listen. And I'm going to read through them, and you can get this idea of God being, you know, the great creator and in control and our fortress. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, like a safety wall. Our helper He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. He does, doesn't he? His craft and power are great and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not His equal. Did we in our own strength confide, or our striving would be losing? Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, His kingdom is forever. A mighty fortress is our God. You know, every one of us has to decide, what are we going to look to as our fortress, or who are we going to go to for our fortress? I was thinking as a parent, you know, this is where I occupy my life right now as a parent of four kids. You know, parents, we may be looking at one of the greatest parenting moments that we've ever had. And this starts by having our heart in the right place. You know, I want to make sure that I am pointing my children to Jesus, to the God of comfort. And we will often refer to Scripture. One of our kids is scared, or I'm afraid, or something's, you know, what we'll go to the Word of God and say, you know, we don't have to fear. God is our refuge. He is our strength. I see a lot of disturbing trends in parenting, and parent. You know, I was talking to a teacher not that long ago, and she made the comment to me that you can tell where the dialogue is at home. So, you know, if a parent is lighting up on social media about different fights of this nature and different fights of that nature, and their fury is going about the political climate and their views of social justice and this and that, the teacher told me, you can see what the environment is like at home. And you can see those and the kids, those environments where the parents are pointing them to God, to trust in Him, to trust in the fact that He is our refuge and strength. You know, it's obviously the parents' job to have our sons or our daughters well-rested, well-fed, but most importantly, it's our job as parents to have them prepared spiritually and mentally to face the challenges of each day. And it is a huge task. I mean, it's just overwhelming. You know, there's so many questions, and we want to know, God, what is it? What do I need to teach them specifically? And how can? And I have found, and perhaps if you you're a parent, you have found this as well, that you teach a lot more by example than you do by words. You know, you want to tell them exactly what to believe and what to say, but they will watch you. And they will watch you even when you do the things that you'd rather they not watch you do. And you say, where did you pick that up? Oh, wait a minute. Did you get that from me? Of course you did. You know, that's just the way parenting is. But we need to prepare our children to face the battles that they're going to face. Verse 5 of Psalms chapter 46, we see that God is with us. What a great comfort. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. You know that old song? I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The personal presence of our Savior can and should be a wonderful source of tremendous hope and confidence at any given time. Do you remember what is said in the book of Romans? I love it. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 says, "For I am persuaded that neither," and here comes a long list, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth," the list goes on, "nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isn't that wonderful? Jesus said in John chapter 1, or 14 and verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." If that reality is settled, if God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble, Christians can move through any upheaval of life with a sense of serenity and security that comes only from our marvelous Savior. Look at verse 6 now of Psalms chapter 46. We see that he is our champion in battle. It says in verse 6, "The heathen raged." We've seen this. "The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted." Wow. Latch on to that. He just utters his voice. The earth melted. "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire." He is the one who is fighting in the battle on our behalf, this great and mighty, powerful God. It's one of the reasons, for example, the Christian does not have to return evil for evil. You know, we try to teach our kids that, you know, don't return evil for evil. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The Lord will take care of the vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I say we tell our children that, but how many of us often have to tell ourselves that? You know, don't return evil for evil. I want to get in front of them, slam on the brakes, or, you know, I want to cut in front of the line at the cashier. I want to do this. You know, we don't have to do that as Christians. God is in control of these things, and he can take care of it, right? We don't have to return evil for evil because the Lord takes care of that in his way, in his time. We just take our refuge in him. I was reading a fellow pastor yesterday. His name's Kevin Metzinger. He pastors a church in Shawnee, Kansas, Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple. And they went to do, his wife was a very talented piano player, and they were invited to do a wedding in Wichita. And so they went and they checked into their room and left their things, went to the church, went through the rehearsal, got back to their hotel room, and Pastor Metzinger noticed his CPAP machine was missing. Couldn't find it. Then he noticed his laptop was missing. Then he noticed his iPad was missing. And thousands of dollars worth of their things were taken. But you know what he mourned the most? Pastor, you can agree with this. He had a 25-year-old Bible that he has preached out of for all this time. And that got stolen. Now, he was, of course, very gracious in his post and was just asking for prayer for these things to be, you know, restored. And he just really wants his Bible back. And he asked that we can pray that if they never get it back, that whoever stole it reads it. And wouldn't that be some sort of story in heaven one day, wouldn't it? Whoever broke in and stole this preacher's Bible, a 25-year-old Bible with all of your notes, oh, that would be such a loss, wouldn't it? And he, of course, is sad about that, but wouldn't it be wonderful if he went to heaven and met that individual and said, "Man, I stole the right thing that day when I stole the Word of God and the Spirit convicted me." Who knows what's going to lead to, but, you know, we don't have to if we're taking our refuge in God, he has tons of Bibles. You know, he can go to another one, and it won't be the same as all the ones that he took all of his notes in, but God is in control of these things. And we don't have to worry about it. We can take our refuge in him. And even when it's something as significant as an entire nation in an uproar or a political party or a cultural movement, these things ultimately it's going to be judged on our willingness to submit to the Lord. Everything that we respond to, our willingness to put our faith and trust in him as our refuge and strength. Because after all, verse 6 says, "He uttereth his voice, the earth melted." This portion of the psalm harkens back to Psalm chapter 2. Turn there with me, if you will, just a few pages back, Psalm chapter 2, and you can see how these are similar. Psalm chapter 2 and verse 1. "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us.'" Verse 4 says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet if I sit my king upon my holy hill of Zion, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Why is the world in such an uproar right now? You know, honestly, it's not all that different. I was reading the other day about an individual who said, "Oh, this pandemic must really be terrible." He was talking to a guy in his 90s, and he's like, "You know, we've dealt with worse. We've had this and that and this problem in the world and that problem in the world." But you know, there's so many world and life views that have completely abandoned God and completely abandoned him as a solution. And the world is vying for that kind of attention and allegiance that we're to give to God. It's very similar to that scene from Schindler's List, as those kids were trying to find a shelter. You know, there's so much worry and fear in the world today. And someone's under the floorboard, if you will, and say, "Take refuge there," or "We'll take refuge here." And they're not looking to the Lord. Always be on the lookout for that pride and that rebellion that will hinder your reliance upon the God of our refuge. That is our strength. That pride and rebellion that likes to creep up. It's a dangerous thing, isn't it? The nations are in an uproar. The heathen rage. The people imagine a vain thing. Be careful where you seek refuge. Be encouraged by the power of God's voice. He spoke and the earth melted. When you're finding your refuge in him, you can be encouraged that God will deal with rebellion and unbelief in his time and in his way. We just have to trust him. You know that story? I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 37. I want to show you just a quick example as I have a few minutes left. You remember that story of Sennacherib, who was the king of Assyria, and Hezekiah, the king of Israel? This is one of those stories that sticks out in my mind because Sennacherib was just a very prideful guy. And here is a very vivid illustration of how God is in control of things. By the way, if you want to read about this a little bit more in detail, 2 Kings chapter 18, 2 Chronicles 32, and then here in Isaiah chapter 36 and 37. So the nation of Assyria was on the rise, and we've talked about Assyria in my preaching as of late, and they invaded Israel. And the pride with which they spoke to the people of Judea is amazing. Sennacherib sent his general, who had the audacity to speak to these people like this. So Isaiah 36 and verse 18, and then we'll be in 37. Verse 18 of Isaiah 36 says, "Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you." This is the general of Assyria talking to them about the king at that time. "Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, 'The Lord will deliver us.'" Don't listen. "Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria?" And what he's saying there is, has anybody been able to defeat us yet? You hear that? Don't take refuge in the God of the Bible. He's not powerful enough to save you. No, it's nobody has defeated us. It's stunning. Now look at Isaiah 37. in verse 33. This is Isaiah's counsel now to Hezekiah not to bow. Therefore, in verse 33, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. This is God talking now, or this is Isaiah talking to Hezekiah. He shall not come into his city, this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, 185,000 people. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed. Well, that was an obvious move, wasn't it? I should have been careful there. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass, listen furthermore, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his son, smote him with a sword. And they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Whoa, pride is a big problem, and God can handle it. Could you imagine? Israel was probably frightened with this powerful Assyrian general harping at the gate that don't listen to Hezekiah if he tells you that your God can deliver you, because it's never happened before. We have not been defeated. Is there any God that has ever defeated us? Well, it's clear that God can take care of the situation, right? You know what? Same. That can possibly come our way. He is our reason to stop fighting, to trust in him. You know, we look for refuge in some of the silliest places sometimes. We try to find it in finance. We try to find it in relationships. We try to find it in the latest religious fad of the day. We need to stop doing that. Look at verse 10 of Psalm chapter 46 now. Be still. Ever heard this verse before? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. This has been turned into, you know, songs and lots of poems. And I do sort of chuckle when I look. It's always depicted. You know, you see, be still and know that I am God. You see this, you know, serene stream and the sun setting. It's just this really calm environment. Be still and know that I am God. And I think it works in that context. But it doesn't fit well for the whole context of what we're looking at. It doesn't capture the language here, the argument of the text. This is a command, be still and know that I am God, to the turbulent world in which we live. Relax, trust me, be still. Stop striving, cease from looking in other areas. God is our refuge and strength. He is our very present help in trouble. Trust in the Lord. Stop going outside of the realm of the spiritual, of the things in the world, to look for strength. The Lord of hosts is with us, verse 11, and the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. We certainly can trust in a God who is capable of all the things that our God is capable of. We don't have to be gripped with fear and worry and anxiety about what will happen to the people of God now and in the days ahead. We don't have to worry about that. God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. What's the last word of the chapter say? Selah. You know, when you see that word, one of the best, and that just means, you know, dwell on it. Spend some time there considering what was just said. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Think about that. Think about all these verses. Be still and know that I am God. He is in control. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Hang on that for a while. Think about it. Dwell on it. And when you are tempted to be afraid, when you're tempted to worry, when you're tempted to think the unthinkable, remember that God is our refuge and he's a very present help in trouble. Father, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, I just feel led to have a moment here where we will bow our heads before you. And Lord, perhaps you are speaking in somebody's heart right now, and they have struggled. They have been fearful. They have worried about things, and they have looked for this refuge and comfort in some other place. Lord, if you're dealing in hearts tonight, would you encourage those people to do business with you? Lord, this is a gracious thing to have you speak to us, and it means that we belong to you. It means that your Spirit is at work, and you are interested and gracious enough to draw us closer to you. And so, Lord, if that's happening in someone's heart tonight, I know it has in mine just in preparing for the sermon tonight. I pray that you would encourage them to rest in you, rely upon you. And Lord, may we be mindful this week as we go throughout the lives in which we live and the jobs in which we have, the stores, whatever it is that we face this week. I pray you'd help us to remember this verse, Psalms 46 and verse 1, that you are our refuge, you are our strength, and you are a very present help in trouble. Thank you for being loving us and for being gracious to us. In Jesus' name, amen.